Okay. Well, now, good evening, class. Well, we're moving on to another subject, class. I want you to know that we're moving to a lesson that is a little bit different from last week. But we're going to find out something that Aaron and Miriam did concerning Moses when they rebelled against their brother Moses, and they tried to function under the guidelines of family relationship. We're just moving a step further with this rebellion here. So I want you to turn your Bible with me, or you can read in your book, to Numbers 12 chapter. The 12th chapter of Numbers, and we're going to see exactly what transpired here to cause God to get so angry as to turn Miriam into a leper. Yeah, that was God did. God turned Miriam into a leper because she came against her brother Moses. And one of the reasons was she based the relationship on family relationship. She based spiritual things with family relationship. You cannot let family relationship get confused, class, with leadership. Spiritual leadership has no connection with family relationship. So number 12, we need to look at it real closely because we're going to find out there's so many areas of authority that God has to take us through. Is that it? If it's not handled properly, it can tear the vision apart, slow the vision down, or cause it not to move at all. Now we're going to find out how God dealt with this situation here, with Aaron, Miriam, and the brother Moses, their baby brother Moses. I say that because sometimes people get that confused, their baby brother, in flesh connection. So the 12th chapter of Numbers, beginning with the first verse, said, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Cushite woman," the King James said, "the Ethiopian woman, the Cushite woman, which she had married, for he had married a Cushite or Ethiopian woman. And they said, had Jehovah indeed spoken only with Moses? Had he not spoken also with us?" You see that? "And Jehovah heard it." Now the next verse said, "Now the man Moses," dealing with Moses' qualification, dealing with Moses' type of man that God chose as Moses, and these characteristics were developed over the years. I want to say they were developed over the years when he was on the backside of the mountain with his father-in-law, Jethro, tending his flocks. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. And Jehovah spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tent of meeting. And the three came out. And Jehovah came down in a pillar of cloud, and stood at the door of the tent, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my..." Now who's talking? Jehovah's talking. "Hear now my words." He heard Miriam and Aaron's words. "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, Jehovah, will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so. He's faithful in all my house. With him will I speak," listen at this, "mouth to mouth, even manifestly, and not in dark speeches." You see that? "Not in dark speeches." Let me find my place again. And not in dark. Now, what did that mean, not in dark speeches? Dark speeches mean that Moses don't have to get an interpretation of anything I said to him because I don't speak to him like that, because I speak to him clearly, and then he understand exactly what I'm saying. He don't have to get a revelation, and he don't have to have nobody prophesy to him because I'm speaking direct to him. I don't have to give no dream to him, but I can talk to him mouth to mouth and face to face. Yeah, to him what I speak to, I will speak with him in a dream. Hold on, let me back up a little bit. So here now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, Jehovah, will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even manifestly, not in dark speeches, and the form of Jehovah shall he behold. Wherefore then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? And the Bible says, and the anger of Jehovah was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud removed from over the tent. And behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, O my Lord, lay not, I pray thee, this sin upon us, for that we have done foolishly, and for that we have sinned. Let her not, I pray, be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he coming out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto Jehovah, saying, Bless her, O God, I beseech thee. And Jehovah said unto Moses, If her father have but spit in her face, shall she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut up without the camp 7 days, and after that she shall be brought in again. And Miriam was shut up without the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. You see that? Class, I read that, all that. I read just about the whole chapter, just about this whole chapter of the 12th chapter, because you see here plainly that God does not compromise when it comes to delegate authority. When God had put Moses in his position of authority, and God expected Miriam, which is the elder sister to Moses, Aaron was the elder brother to Moses, to submit to Moses just as though they were submitting to him himself. Now it seemed hard in the natural, and Miriam find that out soon enough, that she can't recognize Moses as her brother. No, she had to recognize him as a man of God, a man that God spoke. And she had to humble herself, her and Aaron, and deal with it. Now, why did God deal so forcibly with it? Now, I find out through reading the scripture, God did things pretty sternly, so others can see as an example. God made it plain. Now, if I deal with Moses' sister on this platform, if I deal with Moses' sister in this likeness, now what I'm gonna do to you, which have no physical attachment to Moses? Now, if I correct his sister and the brother, well, I'm sure ain't gonna waste no time correcting you. So God deal with things abruptly, and God deal with things sternly sometimes, and God make his point clear that Moses is my servant. So to speak against representative authority, it incurs divine wrath. It always does. It always incurs divine wrath. People don't People don't notice it these days because the ground is not cleaving open. People not turning to leprosy, turning leper, becoming leper. But at the same, in the same likeness, God is dealing with it in other ways. You don't know you're getting cut off spiritually. You may not know it, but sometimes God draws anointing away. We've seen people rebel over the years, and they never can get, they try to start ministry, never can get off the ground. Never. They can't get off the ground, never will. Because they left inappropriately. They left in the spirit of rebellion. And oh God, I hate to get over in this area, but this is the truth. You got to maintain authority. And you have to be a certain person to follow. You have to have a spirit of humility. You have to have a spirit of brokenness. You have to have teachable spirit. You have to be able to be teachable. And you have to be able to be submissible, if that's such a word. But you have to die to yourself. It's not about you. It's whom God chose. Oh, my goodness, I didn't mean to get so excited. But people think that God should be using them. And I don't know what they want. I don't know what they expect. But I don't know why they do what they do. But I know God deals with them. God deals with them. God deals with them. Yeah. Apostle told me one time, and boy, this was a long time ago. And certain things he says by the Spirit, you never forget. He made this statement one time. He said, "Ronald, expect anything out of anybody, anytime." Then he looked at me. He said, "Even you." My goodness. My goodness. He said, "Even me." And so, my goodness. I said, "God." I said, "I don't want to be that you, even though it was me." I said, "I don't want to be that person that he had to expect something from me that was surprisingly unexpected." You know what I'm saying? You come out of a box and all of a sudden you this. We've seen people do that. You know, we're talking to people, "Well, what am I going to do with my ministry?" You know, talk to an apostle like that. "Well, what about my ministry?" And I said, "Oh my God, how are you going to function like that?" And so expect anything from anybody, anytime. I'm pointing at you, even you. Yeah, but just don't be the you. Hope you understand what I'm trying to say. See, because I made my mind up, I wasn't going to be the you. I wasn't going to be the person that was going to come out of the box and just all of a sudden, you know, I won't do my own thing. All of a sudden, I don't want to submit no more. All of a sudden, I think I'm equal with you. All of a sudden, I'm turning to another person. All of a sudden, I got too many revelations. We sitting under you. So I don't know why people do certain things, but they don't respect authority and don't respect leadership. I've seen good people deceive. Good people deceive. Really love God, but got deceived. Rebellion is a deception of the enemy. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let nothing rise up between you and your spiritual leader. Die spiritually for him. Die to yourself. You know, change your mind. Change your idea. Get away from the people that put those evil thoughts in your mind. Don't allow your ear to hear all kinds of things. No. Sell it for yourself. My goodness. I get stirred up because I don't like to see good people messed up. Just serve. Just do. So walk in your walk where God got you right now. When God get ready to promote you, he know how to do that. Don't try to promote. Don't get so anxious. Don't get. Oh, my goodness. Don't put the cart before the horse. Forget about your ministry. I don't know how I'm getting off on this. Just forget you think you got a ministry. That's the problem. Sometimes people just think they got a ministry, think they're all that or nothing. You ain't all that. Oh, my God. I don't want to get all over on that, but I just see so many. I saw so many people, good people, got ruined because they didn't have nobody to tell them certain things. Didn't have nobody to correct them and direct them. And I was sharing with a man not long ago, last week, to tell you the truth about it. Apostle taught us so much in the early days of the ministry. And he said, always keep yourself an arm's length from everybody. Don't get too close to nobody. Don't never get too close to nobody. that you can't correct them, that you can't, see, that they can't, you can't get deceived by them, that you won't get dragged into their conversation. Don't get too close to them where you can't turn from them when you got to turn. Some of what I thought my best friend, I had to cut them loose. Oh, yeah. Cut them loose, I'm telling you. Cut them loose. Cut them loose completely. I said, you separate yourself from Apostle. I said, you separate yourself from me. Ah, man, my God. I mean, we'd go on vacation together. One man and his wife. I let myself get too close to him. Christian, my baby girl. And this was years ago. That's how long it been ago. It been years ago. And so we separated. So my baby girl grew up without a parent. And she, you know, she understood that. That's been in this 30 years ago. Yeah, she's over 30 now. So you know how long, that was ago. Yeah, we said bye-bye. We see you on the other side if you make it there. And so because people getting in rebellion and they wonder why they can't get one foot ahead. And they front for a long time. Oh, yeah, they front for. No, let me get over it. I don't want to get over on that. Amen. Let me stick with my lesson. And so Aaron and Miriam were elder brothers. They were elder brothers and sisters to Moses. Thus, in the home, Moses should be subject to the authority. But in the calling and work of God, they ought to be subject to themselves to Moses' authority. Now, let me tell you how this works now. Now, suppose Miriam invite Moses to dinner. And said, Moses, won't you come eat with us tonight? Well, Miriam got authority and had a dinner table. Well, Moses, don't put that right there. That don't go right there. We put that somewhere else. In the home, she could do that. But when she steps to come to a spiritual thing, you know, the shoe is on the other foot. Moses, the authority. And you got to recognize that. You got to be spiritual enough and mature enough to recognize that if you're going to serve. If you're going to serve in authority, you see it? You see it? You got to be have some maturity. So these classes are for mature Christian, or Christian that want to be mature and go further. You see it? So because they were brothers and sisters, that didn't give them no special place in ministry either. No, you got to be called. I don't care who you are. Who you are, how close you are. He says, but in the calling and the work of God, they ought to subject themselves to Moses' authority. When it comes to the calling, their job is to subject themselves. They were not happy with the Ethiopian woman whom Moses had married. So they spoke against Moses by saying, had Jehovah indeed spoken only with Moses? Had he not spoken also with us? You see it? They talk about the Ethiopian woman, and she's supposed to be some descendant of Ham, but Moses married whom God told him to marry. You can't get involved with people to that facet of life. But as an older sister, Miriam could reprimand her brother on the basis of their family relationship, but when she opened her mouth to slander, she touched upon the work of God, challenging the position of Moses. Oh my goodness. And she challenged the position of Moses. And now that's where Miriam erred. You see it? She challenged the position of Moses when she opened her mouth. God had entrusted his delegated authority in the work of to Moses. What I say? God had entrusted his delegated authority in the work to Moses. So how wrong it was for Aaron and Miriam to attack Moses' position on the basis of family reason. It was God who chose Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Nevertheless, Miriam despised Moses, for this God was greatly displeased with her, She could deal with her brother, but she could not revile God's authority. You see that's the two sides. You see, the brother on one hand, but yet God's authority on one hand. And Brother Nee said she could deal with her brother as a brother, but when it comes to God's authority, my goodness, she reviled against God. You see, and what the word revile means is to speak, wrong words against authority. So now, how many people fall in that category? Rebellion and reviling, you see it? You don't want to do that. So Aaron and Miriam recognized God's authority, they had to, after this situation, and that all the air cleared up, when God restored Miriam back from being a leprous, but in standing on natural ground, they conceived a rebellious heart. Natural ground will always give you a rebellious heart. Yet Moses did not answer back. He knew that it had been set up by God. He had been set up by God to be authority. He need not defend himself. Now listen at this now. Listen at this, and just a good question or a good statement. Whoever reviled him or Moses touched death. So long as God gave him authority, he could remain silent. Now, here's the example you give. A lion needs no protection, since full authority lies within it. Moses was able to represent God in authority because he had first been subject to God's authority. For he was very meek above all the men who were upon the face of the earth. The authority which Moses represented was God's own. And no one can take away God's given authority. Now we're going to get to the lesson a little bit. Let me tell you how rebellious words work. And I like this point Brother Nee brought out. Rebellious words ascend to heaven and are heard by God. Now, sometimes people, they get in a rebellious mood. And if you don't identify rebellion, you got to have an understanding whether I mean a rebellion or not, and it has to be clear to you. Because sometimes people don't always acknowledge. They don't like that word rebellion because they don't want to touch it because they say, I'm not a rebellious person. But nevertheless, if you got mud on you, and you've been in the mud, you can't say you're not dirty. Well, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say a little leaving a whole lump. A little rebellion make you all rebellion. There's no such thing as partial rebellion. You're either rebellious or you're not. But the whole point of the matter is, most people don't want that word rebellion to identify itself with him. But whenever you speak erroneous words concerning your spiritual leader, God hear it. And you got to come to grips with that. And you got to come to reality with it. It don't make no difference whether you spoke it in the closet. It don't make no difference where you spoke it to just one person. You say, look, and just getting a casual conversation, that's why you got to be careful how these little conversations come up and talking about spiritual leader. And you go to saying things and you know they're not right, there's no excuse, it's still rebellion. My point is that God hears all these words, whether you speak them in the closet or on the hilltop. God hear them and they'll send direct to heaven. And guess what? When God hears them, God has to deal with them. But people say, I'm not rebellious. But the words coming out of your mouth may be rebellious. So be slow to speak. Be careful what you say. Don't let the enemy use your tongue. If it's in your heart, get it out of your heart. Because rebellious word can be conceived in your heart like a seed sown into the ground. And people water when they hear other people talk about things. You allow your ear gates to become a waste basket for others to dump in. And then wherever you hear, you got to deal with it. I'm just talking natural, general talk, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. And we're trying to talk about how these rebellious words are conceived and have a conception in you. When Aaron and Miriam sinned against Moses, they sinned against God, who was in Moses. So whenever you sin against delegated authority, you're not only sinning against them, but you're sinning against the God that's in them. That's not complicated. The anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Whenever man touches God's delegated authority, he touches God within that person. Now underline this statement here in your book. Whenever man touches God's delegated authority, he touches God within that person. Sin against delegated authority is sinning against God himself. Now you're going to hear that again. Sin against God's delegated authority is sin against God himself. We talk about words. These are words, reviling words, rebellious words. And you say they send that record to heaven. Satan don't even try to even stop those words. You know, like how you try to cut your prayers off? No. He said, you tell all the demons, let those words go through. Let Jehovah hear those words. We want him to hear those words, let him know what kind of servant he got. So authority is God's choice, not man's attainment. Oh my goodness. Sometimes people want to know, well, why he chose Moses? Why he didn't choose me? I think I could be a better leader. No, that's a rebellious spirit. God summoned the 3 to the 10th of meeting. Aaron and Miriam went without hesitation because they thought God must be on their side. And also because they had much to say to God since Moses had sinned. Because Moses had caused all this trouble in the family by marrying this Ethiopian woman. Now, let's back up and tell the story a little bit more now. Now, they were so concerned about this Ethiopian woman that Moses married. And so what happened is that sometime, because you're in a position to say things, you think you can say it. But God called all three of them on the carpet. God said, all three of y'all come out. Now when God did that, I got to thinking to myself, and Brother Nee confirmed my thinking. When God called them out, they said, now we're going to see who God listening to. Now we're going to see who's right. And now we're going to see who's wrong. You see, God called all three of us out on the carpet. And I can imagine they probably walked out there with a certain confidence and boldness, thinking they're all right. But God brought them on the carpet right before himself, the great judge, going to judge this matter. And now they're going to deal with, not with Moses, but they're going to deal with God. Remember, Moses remained quiet. Moses didn't say a word. You don't have to defend yourself. One brother Lee said, whomsoever you defend yourself with, they become your authority. So you got to be mindful. When you open your mouth, then you're defending your own self. But when you remain quiet, God becomes your defense. And so they're not no longer fighting against you. They're fighting against God himself. Oh, and what a terrible position to be when you find yourself in the hands of God. Now, God called through them to the tent of the meeting, and he said, Moses, you caused all this trouble here. Now, God's going to deal with you. God's going to get this thing straight. But God proclaimed that Moses was his servant who was faithful in all his house. This is God's defense to Moses. He said, how dare you speak against my servant? So spiritual authority is not something one attains by effort. It is given by God to whosoever he chooses. So you can't obtain spiritual authority on your own effort, by your own merits, by your own knowledge, by your own wisdom, because you think you're smarter than God, than Moses. Just because you think you got more common sense than him. Don't you have sense to know that God don't want to buy married or Ethiopian woman? They're not even of our tribe. You married out of our Israelite family. I don't know why he crossed the line and married the Ethiopian woman. Well, that was God's business. That was God's doing. That was God's ways of doing things. Matter of fact, God used his sons to be Moses' sons down the line. He used them. But you got to be mindful how you judge God's servant. You got to be mindful how you say things that God didn't ordain you say. Be careful. Be slow to speak. Don't say things that you don't have any spiritual grounds to stand on. No, be careful. Be careful how you deal with spiritual things. Class, I'm talking to you as an instructor, but I'm talking to you as a servant. Be careful how you deal with God's spiritual leader. How very difficult is the spiritual from the natural? How very different is the spiritual from the natural? God himself is the authority. Beware lest we offend. Whoever speak against Moses, or whoever your Moses is, speak against God's chosen one. Let us never despise God's chosen vessel. You hear that, Clan? Let us never despise God's chosen vessel. This lesson is to let us know how highly God thinks of those whom he has called to himself, whom he has chosen to himself. It's God's own reason why he chose Moses. It was none of Miriam and Aaron's business why God chose Moses and not themselves. Yeah, they said, we hear from God too. Yeah, but God didn't call you. God called Moses. And God have a reason for choosing whom he chose. Our job is to obey. And then when God connects you with a spiritual leader, make sure you connect properly. Make sure you connect spiritually. And sometimes people say, God called me here. God connect me to my pastor. God connect me to my spiritual leader. Well, stay connected then. Don't let nobody pull you off. Don't let nobody disconnect you. Don't let nobody tell you different from what God told you at the beginning. God always, see, I'm getting stirred up again. God always go back to the beginning of the call. Who changed your mind? God never changed his mind when he says something. He told the prophet Elisha when he connected with Elijah, he said, as long as the Lord liveth, and as long as thy soul liveth, I don't want you to leave him. I believe that when God can make connection, I think it should be lifelong connection. I believe it's connection for life. I believe when God calls a person to serve the spiritual leader, I think they should stay with that spiritual leader for life. I think there's a spiritual bond that's made. I think God may have a spiritual connection, a spiritual hookup, a spiritual weaving. He weaved like this David and like this Saul. He like the spirit was knitted together. I don't know how people abandon the spiritual leader. I don't know how they do that. I don't know what can be strong enough. I don't know what offense can come hard enough. I don't know what hurt can be that bad to sever a relationship between a spiritual leader and a servant and those whom God connect them to. I don't know how people let a little thing like offense connect them. I don't think they ever realize the connection God put together and God made. Oh my goodness, I hope you understand what I'm saying. That's the cry of the Spirit. To stay connected. That's the cry of the Holy Ghost. To stay connected. Stay connected. because that's where your blessing is. Stay connected, because that's where your promised land is. Stay connected. That's where your milk, the land of milk and honey is. Stay connected. That's where your healing. That's where your husband. That's where your wife. That's where your that's where your future lies, in the connection. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Satan tried to disconnect Miriam and Moses. He's disconnected many of families of days come and days gone by. Many families have been severed apart by Satan, by his deceptive act of severing relationship, severing connection, when nobody wants to submit to spiritual authority, when nobody understands God's order, the person whom God places anointed upon, the person whom God chose. It's not your business why God chose who they chose. Your business is only to submit. Oh my God, why is it so hard to submit? Why is it so hard to die sometimes? Why is it so hard to allow yourself to connect properly where nobody can disconnect you? Why? Stay connected. Stay connected. I'm telling you, stay connected. Your future is in that connection. Your future. God gets angry. It angers God. It angers God when God sees a relationship severed. God don't like it when he knows he has called people together and when he connected him by his own spirit to follow and to submit. When you see that connection, that's the spiritual abortion take place. And God cannot manifest full life. Yeah, there might be some life, that there might be some progress, but not like God wants when that connection is severed. Class, hear me. Because rebellion is always manifested. Come a long time or come short, it's gonna be manifested. The seed, if that seed of rebellion in you, if you don't do nothing to get it out, it's gonna come up and it's gonna show its ugly face and you're gonna have to deal with it. Oh my goodness, just don't permit it to come part of your life. Don't permit it to come into your life. Don't permit the enemy to take advantage of you. Don't because it's gonna destroy your family, destroy your children. Oh my goodness, it'll just destroy everything. It may look like everything going good in people's life. May it look like, because the grass always look greener on the other side. But nevertheless, that spiritual debt involved. Spiritual debt always involved in rebellion. It's always going to bring manifestation of some way, somehow. In come short time or come long, it's going to be some evidence that you see the difference. When people that are connected, stay connected, and how their life flourished, and how their life, and look, I saw it in Joshua, I saw it in Caleb. Oh, they stayed connected to Moses. They said, we well able to take them. But these other people, these other 10 spies, had a different spirit, the Bible said, and they couldn't follow. They died with hell at the time. They didn't live out their full life. They didn't get a chance to go to the promised land because they broke the connection, because they didn't believe the man of God. They didn't believe their prophet. They didn't stay connected properly. They had the same rights with Caleb and Joshua. All they do was change their mind. All they do is see what God said, but they couldn't. Class, I'm pleading with you. Stay connected. Class, I want you to know that the enemy will try to pull you off, especially those that are close to spiritual leaders. For some reason, you got to yield more, and you got to die more when you have that physical connection, that relationship, far as brothers or sisters, father, mother. That's who the enemy really wants to sever the relationship. And so it takes a stronger anointing to stay connected. But it's possible. You got to die a little bit more, die a little bit deeper, and die a little longer, but nevertheless, always there's the resurrection. You can say, I'm glad I did. But class, you've been a good class. I tell you what, these lessons here, it may seem like they're not saying much, but they're a spiritual revelation that the connection is so important, it's so proper, it's so strong, it's so real, it's so divine, it's so much of God that I don't want anything that seemed like controversial, anything that seemed of separation to come between me and my man of God. I'll tell you what, you just keep dying, keep dying, keep dying to yourself, and then you're going to see the fruits of everything. God bless your family. I'll see you next time.